continuing on now with question number 5 in the Questions by the Sages series. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 1, text number 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Atta akhyahi pare dhiman avatara katha shubha lila vidadhata vairam ishvarasya atma mayaya. Ata kya hi hare dhiman avatara katha shubha lila vidadhata svairam ishvarashyatma mayaya. Ata therefore, akhyahi, describe, hare, of the Lord, dhiman, O sagacious one, avatara, incarnations, katha, narratives, shubha, auspicious, lila, adventures, vidatata, performed, svairam, pastimes, ishvarashya, of the Supreme Controller, atma, personal, mayaya, energies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers. Purport. For the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead Himself, appears in many thousands of forms of incarnations. And the specific adventures found in those transcendental forms are all auspicious. Both those who are present during such activities and those who hear the transcendental narrations of such activities are benefited. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Sometimes we may think, well, if I had just been there 5,000 years ago in the chariot, then I could have easily become a devotee. If I could have been there 500 years ago when Lord Chaitanya was chanting and dancing in Navadvip, then I could have easily been a devotee. You see, but these are lame excuses, actually. Because here, Srila Prabhupada explains that whether you are present, actually present, on one of the Lord's incarnations, or the Lord Himself, obviously, are manifest, or you're simply hearing those transcendental narrations. You see. Whether you're personally there or you're hearing it, the benefit is, actually elsewhere Prabhupada said, it's the same benefit. The same benefit. So that's how seriously we should take Krishna Katha, hearing about the Lord and His incarnations. Hearing about, just imagine if, you know, we could take a time machine, if there was such a thing. You know, they make movies about time machines, where you can go to a different place in a different time in this machine. So just imagine if we could get in a time machine and all of us, this whole room full of us here, we could go to, you know, 500 years ago, and we could see Lord Chaitanya chanting and dancing in Bengal. We'd be pretty excited. Wow. We're going to go now and actually meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. How much we would be enthusiastic and eager and enlivened. So, that same enthusiasm, eagerness, enlivenment should be there because he's come in the form of the deity. He's just as manifest in the form of the deity as he was when he was walking down the road in Bengal. And he's just as manifest in the transcendental narration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the problem is not that Krishna isn't here. The problem is that we don't know how to hear. You see, we are deficient in our hearing. That's the problem. Our hearing is deficient. The fact is, through the power of hearing, Shabda Brahman, you can directly experience Brahman. Directly experience. But our hearing is deficient. We're trying to hear, but I see some are like, you know, going off. Their eyes are down. Their eyelids are weighing like 10 pounds, 10 kilos, and their eyelids are just like pulling. Well, they're serving, doing nice service. It's understandable. They're working hard, so that's glorious. But still, we really have to fight the mind and the tendency of the lower modes when we sit down to hear, because this keen hearing, which of course is what Bhakti Siddhanta noted in Srila Prabhupada, that keen hearing is what enables us to actually become potent preachers. Prabhupada said, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So if you have a desire to be a potent, powerful preacher of Krishna consciousness, and then learn how to be a potent, powerful hearer of Krishna consciousness. In the computer world, they have a saying, garbage in, garbage out. So just the opposite applies in Krishna consciousness. According to the quality of what goes in, that affects the quality of what comes out. How well you're hearing will definitely, will be equal to how well you're speaking. So this hearing business is a very, very serious thing. That is the first item, shravanam, and then kirtanam. Because before we can speak, we have to hear. So here we see how keen these sages are to hear Sutta Goswami. Again, they've encouraged it in many ways. In a previous verse, bhadram te, all blessings to you. And now again they are encouraging, O wise Sutta. You see, again they are encouraging him to reveal his wisdom. It's not that they're just trying to flatter him for some material purpose, but they are actually glorifying the reality in that Sutta is indeed a very, very wise person. He's a very wise, enlightened spiritual master. And by offering that glorification of him, that is for their benefit. That glorification of the spiritual master enables the hearer to go even deeper. If we think that the spiritual master is an ordinary man, then why we should bother hearing? Why do we waste our time hearing? The spiritual master is an ordinary person. You understand? Why should I waste my time? Might as well just sleep. I'm tired, I'll just sleep in class, you know. If the spiritual master is an ordinary man, I might as well just sleep. But the spiritual master is not an ordinary person. Shakshad dhari tvena samasta shastrir. He is accepted to be directly the personality of Godhead, the servitor form of the personality of Godhead. Krishna is the third form, and the spiritual master is the servitor form. Prabhupada has taught us this point. So, to hear their understanding, here is Guru, Suta Goswami. So they are glorifying him, they are offering all, they are saying all blessings, O wise Suta, all encouragement is there, because they want to, they are very eager and keen to enter into hearing. So now we will go to the answer to this question, which is given in the second chapter, texts 30 through 33. Sa evedam sasar jagre Bhagavan Atmamayaya Sadasad Rupaya Chasau Guna Maya Guno Vibhu. In the beginning of the material creation, that absolute personality of Godhead, Vasudev, in his transcendental position, created the energies of cause and effect by his own internal potency. The position of the Lord is always transcendental, because the causal and effectual energies required for the creation of the material world were also created by him. He is unaffected, therefore, by the qualities of the material modes. His existence, form, activities, and paraphernalia all existed before material creation. Footnote: Sripad Shankaracharya, the head of the Mayavad school, accepts this transcendental position of Krishna in his commentation on the Bhagavad Gita. He is all spiritual. Prabhupada puts that in italics to emphasize it. He is all spiritual and has nothing to do with the qualities of the material world, which are qualitatively distinct from the spiritual qualities of the Lord. So, now these sages are hearing from Suta Goswami about Krishna, how he engages in the creation. We hear some people say sometimes that you have to be careful which lila you hear about, because that is what you will achieve. You know, you should only, if you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, you should only hear Vrindavan Leela. You shouldn't hear about Krishna creating the world. But Prabhupada didn't accept that viewpoint. One time in Los Angeles, there was a whole group. They actually became known as the Gopi Bhava Club. They would get together and they would just talk about Krishna kissing the gopis and read certain portions from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the intimate pastimes of the Lord with the gopis. And they didn't want to hear things about Krishna creating the world or Krishna speaking the Bhagavad Gita. They didn't want to go to Mangal Arati. They wanted to go to Tulsi worship. Because in Tulsi worship we pray that we can become gopis. Of course, sometimes they accuse us of being male chauvinists in this movement, but how they can say that, where every day all these men are praying to become women in their next life. So anyway, Prabhupada smashed this. He said, this will spoil this Krishna consciousness movement. It must be stopped. So this idea that you have to, you can only hear about this particular type of pastime of Krishna, not the other ones, it's completely bogus. Some other camps who are also in the Gaudiya line, they promote this idea, you see. And for those who are uninformed and unenlightened, they may find this very attractive, just to hear about Krishna kissing the gopis. But this is not how your Prabhupada very clearly told us. You have to understand the Bhagavatam step by step by step. First canto, second canto, or the two lotus feet. So these other Vaishnava camps who promote this idea of jumping to Krishna Leela with the gopis, this is called Sahajya. Prabhupada said there's already enough monkeys in Vrindavan. Don't go jumping over the head of your spiritual master to some so-called advanced, consciousness. You'll simply become a ruination. And we see that. They initiate people very cheaply, and these people are having sinful activities. You see. To actually become purified, one has to go carefully, step by step, as we are doing here, first canto. Actually, Prabhupada put everything. Vishnujan Maharaj told me when I first joined up in Austin, he said that Prabhupada had said that he didn't know how long he would live, so he put everything that we need in the first canto. Everything we need is in the first canto, actually. He didn't know how long he would live, but so he just put it, he loaded everything we need for achieving spiritual perfection right into the first canto. So we should study this first canto with great intensity and great appreciation for the sublime mercy of Suta Goswami, the sublime mercy of these sages of Naimisharanya, and the most sublime mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada. So now we'll look at the next text here, which continues on with the answer. Taya Vila Sitesh Veshu Guneshu Gunavan Iva Anta Pravishta Abhati Vijnana Vrijimbita. After creating the material existence, or rather the material substance, the Lord, Vasudeva, expands Himself and enters into it. And although He is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, He is always fully enlightened in His transcendental position. So this is an interesting aspect of how Krishna can appear to be one of us. Especially in His Vrindavan Leela, when He comes as Krishna. He behaves like an ordinary person. Sometimes He even becomes aggrieved. Like an ordinary person would become aggrieved. When He saw the cowherd boys had all entered into that big, huge mouth of Agasur, He became momentarily aggrieved. Oh, all my friends are swallowed by this serpent. What to do? He became aggrieved for a moment, as if He was an ordinary, confused person. That actually increases the sweetness of Krishna's pastime when He acts like that. It becomes sweeter. Then all the demigods go, oh! And then get a little scared for a second. What's happening? Krishna's confused. And then He goes in and completely annihilates that rascal Agasura. So it makes it very exciting. Actually, they do like that when the screenwriters for the movies, you see. They always, there's always these varieties of emotions. So that perfection of varieties of emotions is there in the pastimes of Krishna. That is the perfection of it. Someday, when Hollywood actually takes advantage of Krishna's pastimes, they will have the greatest boom of in history of people coming to watch movies. They're always thinking, how are we going to expand our movie business? But they don't realize that they can just take advantage of the pastimes of Krishna. At that time, if they do that, the movie houses will be absolutely packed with people, because there's nothing more attractive than the pastimes of Krishna, pastimes of Ram, all these different incarnations. There's nothing like it. these screenwriters can't conceive of such inconceivable pastime. It's a chincha lila. It's inconceivably wonderful. So all they have to do is take advantage. Start making, you know, take consultation from, you know, the ISKCON leaders, how to do it properly according to scripture. Not some concocted bogus thing, but how to properly do according to scripture, and then they will be the most incredible movies that have ever been produced in the history of cinema. All they have to do is take advantage of them. They have the technology now to do all kinds of things, you know, with computer technology now is enabling to do anything on the screen. And they can easily have Ravana with all his multi-heads, no problem. You know, looking very real. They can do all of it now, the cinema. So they should now do it. They should put Krishna in the cinema, Ram. Be a very big thing. People will be purified. The whole world will be purified by such movies. These amazing pastimes that the sages were very, very eager. Now you tell us about them. We want to hear about this. We're willing to sit here for 1,000 years and hear about this. Next verse. Yata hiyava hito vanya darushu eka svayonishu naneva bhati vishvatma bhuteishu cha tatapuma. The Lord, as the Supersoul, pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. And so he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the Absolute One without a second. Purport. Lord Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by one of his plenary parts, expands himself all over the material world, and his existence can be perceived even within the atomic energy. Matter, antimatter, proton, neutron, etc. are all different effects of the Paramatma feature of the Lord. As from wood, fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord is Paramatma can be felt by the legitimate process of hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects, where it's especially treated in the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and Vedanta. This is a very interesting concept. Just as you can get butter out of milk by churning, hearing and chanting is another process of churning by which you can extract Krishna from this material existence. Just imagine that this whole material existence is a big pot of milk, a big churn full of milk. We've actually, our last time visiting to Europe, we were preaching in Bulgaria. And one day, we had an excursion. There's a small village outside of Sofia. And there's one very nice devotee named Indrasane Prabhu. And we went to do a program at Indrasane Prabhu's house. And the first thing we did when we got there, he had an old-fashioned wood butter churn, European style, where you go up and down. So he took the fresh milk out of the cow, which he had right there in his yard, and he just started going like this, working very hard, up and down, up and down, up and down. And finally, with a big smile, he pulled out and showed us the butter. And that's what we had for the prasadam and the feast that day. It was so good. I mean, it was incredible. His own cow in his own yard, he churned it right there. You can't believe how good that butter tasted. So, just imagine this whole universe is like that butter churn, you see. And this, everything, that all the material energy of this material universe is the milk sitting inside that churn. And hearing and chanting is his, you know, going up and down with that wooden rod. And in India, they have another system with rope. It's actually an easier thing. The Europeans, you know, to go like this, it just doesn't make sense. Too hard. This rope thing is easier than going up and down with a rod. But anyway, this This hearing and chanting is a process of churning this milk of the material nature so that you can extract Krishna. As Prabhupada told us, I'll never forget that first time I met Prabhupada, you know, face to face. Of course, I met him far before that. I actually accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master before I ever laid eyes on him. Just by hearing about Prabhupada, I said, this is my spiritual master. I surrendered to him. Hearing his recordings, hearing about him, that was it. And then after I surrendered myself fully to him, then I got to see him. And the first time I saw Prabhupada, he was telling us. This was sitting on Subhadra's cart in Golden Gate Park in the summer of 1971 in San Francisco. And Prabhupada said, and most of the audience were non-devotees. He said, you've all seen God. Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. So you have all seen God. And you have tasted also. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. So how many times you're taking water every day? Once, twice, thrice, more than that. He said, if every time you take water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said it like that, in that tone of voice. Immediately become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious, it is not a difficult job. It simply requires practice. So, Prabhupada is telling us how we can extract Krishna. By remembering Krishna as the taste of the water. Krishna is the light of the sun. Krishna is the sound in the ether. He's the ability in man. I tell some of my disciples who work jobs, you know, have to go out there Monday morning and they'll go to the office and, you know, a whole weekly grind. I say, just look at your boss, how expert he is at managing the department, and you can meditate. Ah, that ability he has to manage the department, that is Krishna. So in this way, even at your job, you can be Krishna conscious. You see? So in this way, the devotee, by hearing very nicely and chanting very nicely the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that all-attractive person, Krishna, he is able to extract Krishna everywhere, you see. He can experience, he can see that everything is within Krishna and Krishna is within everything. This is called the vision of a Paramahamsa. And that's where we're supposed to come to. We're supposed to elevate our consciousness by focused hearing and chanting in the mood of love so we can all come to the Paramahamsa stage of being able to directly experience and extract Krishna everywhere. That's what we're meant to do. We are not meant to remain neophyte devotees struggling with our minds. We are meant to become masters of our minds so that we can directly connect with Krishna, extract Krishna in all times, all places, whether I'm out on the Sankirtan, whether I'm here at the temple, whether I'm going shopping for Krishna, whatever, whether I'm a householder, taking care of, you know, trying to work out my family relationship to elevate my wife and children to Krishna platform. Whatever I'm doing, you see, I am meant to be connected with Krishna. Feeling that contact with the Lord and trying to help those that I'm associated with to also come in contact with the Lord. You see, Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. So we'll go on now. This is the final verse in the answer. Of course, the third and fourth cantos go into it in all detail, but I don't think we have time to cover the entire third and fourth cantos this morning. Of course, Krishna could... It's conceivable within Krishna's arrangement. I don't think it will happen. I mean, you know, Krishna can do anything. I mean, Krishna could actually take a one-hour class and squeeze 10,000 years into it, just like the Rasa Din. It went on for such a long time, but it was squeezed. But Krishna can do anything mystically. But I don't expect that to happen in my class. that, you know, we could sit here for 1 hour, but on another dimension it'll actually go on for 10,000 years, and we'll be able to in detail go through the entire third and fourth cantos. That, I don't expect that to happen in this class.
Although
it could.
Huh? We are doing separately these details. We are going through these details.
So you're going through them.
Yeah, we are doing that separately.
That's good. So yeah, that will be the complete study of the answer. When you study in detail the third and fourth cantos in their entirety of the Bhagavatam. But the direct answers given here in the first canto now are completing now the text 33. Aso gunamaya bhavayar bhuta sukshmendriyatma bihi sva nirmiteshu nirvishto bhunkte bhuteshu tad gunan. The super soul enters into the bodies of the created beings who are influenced by the modes of material nature and causes them to enjoy the effects of those of these modes by the subtle mind. Purport. There are 8,400,000 species of living beings, beginning from the highest intellectual being, Brahma, down to the insignificant ant. And all of them are enjoying the material world according to the desires of the subtle mind and the gross material body. The gross material body is based on the conditions of the subtle mind, and the senses are creating according to the desire of the living being. The Lord, as Paramatma, helps the living being to get material happiness because the living being is helpless in all respects in obtaining what he desires. He proposes and the Lord disposes. In another sense, the living beings are parts and parcels of the Lord. They are therefore one with the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, the living beings in all varieties of bodies have been claimed by the Lord as his sons. The sufferings and enjoyments of the sons are indirectly the sufferings and enjoyments of the father. Still, the father is not in any way affected directly by the suffering and enjoyment of the sons. He is so kind that he constantly remains with the living being as Paramatma and always tries to convert the living being toward the real happiness. So even though Krishna does not force us to surrender, he is there as the Super Soul with us through millions and millions of lifetimes. He's always there as the Super Soul trying to convert us to becoming back to the position of being devotees. He's always trying. Because he loves us. We are his beloved children. So he's trying to bring us back to that position. And that's why as soon as one becomes actually eager to get out of the suffering condition, then Krishna will bring you in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. When you actually become desirous to know what is that absolute truth, then Krishna, who is Chaitya Guru, the guru within your heart, he will manifest externally as the spiritual master. That is not a chance thing that one comes in contact with a spiritual master. It is actually the Lord's arrangement when one is actually keen to know that absolute truth, is keen to know, why am I suffering here? This doesn't seem right. How can I get out of this situation? So, Krishna is always there, trying. He's not forcing, but he's doing everything he can to convince you that you should do this. You should surrender to him. You should. Everything possible. It's like a merchant. He cannot force you to give your money. That is called robbery. But he's doing everything he can to sell you on the idea of buying his product. Nice advertising. You know, you walk in the store, they're really friendly and smiling, you know, nice lighting, everything nicely arranged to attract you to buy. He cannot force you to give your money. That's robbery. But he can do everything possible to make it very attractive. It's like these shopping malls, you know. People go in there and they just become, it's like intoxicated by the mall. They want to shop, 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 shop. buy, 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 buy. They're not forced, but they're attracted. So Krishna is doing everything he can to attract us to surrender to him. In so many ways. Krishna's pastimes are there. Krishna's devotees are there. The prasadam. Just like, who was it who told me? Yes, Tapo Divyam was telling me how he got a sweet ball from Avadutta Chandra. And that was it. He got a sweet ball on the streets of Helsinki from Avadutta Chandra. He had already been exposed to Krishna consciousness in South America. But he wasn't really quite ready to get into it. But when he got that sweet ball, that pushed him over the edge. So see, these are all the arrangement of Krishna. These are all the arrangement of Krishna. It's like you go to a store and you think, well, maybe, you know, I might want to buy something here. You know, I got my credit card here and everything's okay. I might want to buy something and maybe I'd like to get this. But if you get in the hands of a good salesman, you see, that maybe is a yes, I will buy. You're thinking, well, maybe I'd like to, maybe not. I don't know. But that good salesman, he can turn the iffy person into a confirmed customer, you see. So there's some kirtan devotee, you know, who's convinced that if you eat this sweet, your life will become transformed, you see. His conviction, all right, let me try this sweet. I must have told that story to you all before, that, you know, the Simply Wonderfuls is the old, you know, weapon in the old days in America, back when Prabhupada was here. He taught us how to make Simply Wonderfuls. So, one devotee, he asked Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when we give someone on the street a Simply Wonderful? Srila Prabhupada said, he will eat that wonderful sweet, and he will come to your temple, and he will become Simply Wonderful. We see that with Tapo Divyam. Prabhupada's words are true. And then Prabhupada said, this process of Krishna consciousness is simply wonderful. Krishna is simply wonderful, and you are all simply wonderful. And then one devotee said, Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, have kirtan. So this is a fact. You see, Krishna he's making every possible arrangement that we can come back to that sublime relationship that we originally had with him before we made the mistake of sticking our hand in the fire. You know, our Prabhupada uses the biblical thing, the forbidden apple. See, the Bible, they talk about the forbidden apple. What is that forbidden apple? It's the desire to be God. In the spiritual world, you can enjoy unlimited, but there's one enjoyment you're not allowed to have, and that's that you are God. That and so if you want that enjoyment, then you, just like Adam and Eve, when they ate the forbidden apple, kicked out of paradise. So if you have that desire, you can enjoy unlimitedly in Goloka. In unlimited ways. The desire trees will fulfill all your desires. Whatever you want. I was just thinking, this harmonium is so nice. I hope they have harmoniums in Goloka Vrindavan. But actually, if a pure devotee in Goloka Vrindavan wants to sing a bhajan for Krishna with a harmonium, the desire tree will provide the best harmonium. Not only fruits they can give, they can also give harmonium. They can give any desire of the devotee to serve Krishna with pure love. So, why would we leave when there's a situation where you can, in any way, you can have your desire fulfilled to serve Krishna in this way, to serve Krishna in that way? You see? Why would we leave? Because we ate the forbidden fruit that I want to be God. We wanted to taste that fruit. So now Krishna is trying to... Now you made a mistake. Now I want you to come back. All right. I'll make all facility for you. I'll do everything possible to bring you back. I will arrange that the sages of Naimisharanya will gather there, and Sutta Goswami will come, and he will give this wonderful narration so that you can tune into this narration via the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam book given by Srila Prabhupada, and that you can be actually attracted to re-enter into your original relationship with me. That's why this is Krishna's arrangement, this whole conversation in Naimisharanya. The sages ask these six questions. This is all the arrangement of the Lord. He inspired from within the heart. He inspired the sages to ask these six questions. Because the answers to these six questions will deliver us if we hear nicely and apply the realizations from these six answers. Then we will re-enter the spiritual world. So, this concludes lecture number 5 in the 6 Questions by the Sages series. The final lecture will be tonight. And we can ask now if there are any questions. Tathavad, you're the senior here. What is your question?
Prabhupada, it's like we know that the spiritual dance, holy dance, they are eternal. And Krishna's lilas are going eternal. But at the same time, someone was making comment that, you know, if the holy dance appears because Krishna is bringing all his, you know, devotees with him, so in one point he's also leaving, so how the lilas are going eternally there? Because they took some other planet. Could you kindly a little elaborate, you know, how to cut off
the... How are the lilas still going on there? Since Krishna left? Yeah. Vrindavanam parityaja napada ekam gacchati. That is stated. Vrindavanam parityaja means, just like we say, sarvadharman parityaja, same word, parityaja. Vrindavanam parityaja means abandoning, means leaving Vrindavan or giving up Vrindavan. It's like, you know, giving up all, sarvadharman parityaja, giving up all duties. Or you can say Vrindavanam Parityaja, giving up Vrindavan. So Vrindavanam Parityaja, na means not. Pada, napada, ekam, gacchati. Krishna never even sets one foot outside of Vrindavan. That is a thing. So just as Krishna appeared to leave Vrindavan to go to Mathura and on to Dwarka, actually, because the gopis were intensely absorbed in remembering Krishna, lila smadanam, they were intensely absorbed in Krishna bhakti, meditating on Krishna's pastimes. By that intense meditation of the gopis, Krishna was captured in Vrindavan. So when they say, well, he was there when the gopis were there, now the gopis are gone, then he's no longer captured. But actually, that's not a fact. When Prabhadananda Sarasvati, you may, in the Vrindavan Mahimamrita by Prabhadananda Sarasvati, which was 500 years ago, he went to Vrindavan and spent his whole life. He reveals in that Vrindavan Mahimamrita how he is seeing the pastimes of Krishna going on. So 500 years ago, Krishna Leela is still going on in Vrindavan. And that same lila is still going on. It is up to the vision of the devotee. It is described that the guru, spiritual master, he is a revealer of the Dhamma. If we go to Vrindavan as a tourist, thinking, well, I will save up my money, I will buy a ticket to Delhi, and then I'll take one taxi, and I will enter Vrindavan. No, you cannot enter Vrindavan like that. The only way to enter Vrindavan is to, by the mercy of Guru. Because Guru is the revealer of the Dham. And that means not only, you see, Dham means everything in relation with the Dham also. Dham is absolute. That means Dham includes Leela, Dham includes qualities, name, fame, form, pastimes, everything. Every aspect of the Lord contains all the other aspects. Name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia. The Dham is the Lord's paraphernalia. You see? So everything is there. On the absolute platform, the name, the fame, the form, the pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, each one of those contains all the others. So the Dham must contain the name, fame, form, pastimes of Krishna, because it is on the absolute platform. It is not within this material world. Sri Vrindavan Dham does not exist in this material world. And if we hear nicely from Srila Prabhupada, from Guru, from Vaishnavas, and enter into that Dham, that we will actually enter the spiritual world when we go to Vrindavan Dham. And if we really hear with great depth, then we will keep that Dham with us in our hearts wherever we go. We will come back to Helsinki, and we will Vrindavan will be carrying Vrindavan with us, just like Prabhupada did. You see, if we take it with great seriousness, we see that, first Prabhupada on the highest level, wherever he went, Vrindavan was going with him. And we see that other devotees also, very senior advanced devotees, wherever they go, there's a certain atmosphere that surrounds them, because they are living in that mood of Vrindavan at every minute, wherever they are. And by associating with such senior advanced devotees, then we can feel also that we can have that feeling of being in the Dham just by being in their presence. Even if we're in Helsinki, you see, we can feel that we're in the Dham just by being in their association. So we should never think that Krishna has left Vrindavan. Krishna is there. It's simply a matter of our realization. His pastimes are Nitya Leela. They are going on now. For those who have the eyes to see, all the Leelas are happening right now in Vrindavan. They're all happening right now. He's standing on the bank of the Jamuna, playing the fifth note on his flute, and he's attracting the gopis right now. These are eternal pastimes. They exist in timelessness. It's not that they come, they begin and they end and they're over and finished. Those pastimes are going on in timelessness. They never stop. Nitya Leela. Prabhupada explains that we have a mystic, it's in his purport in the Bhagavatam. He says mystic television. You may have read that purport. Mystic television. In the heart of each devotee. Right now our set is broken. Our television set is broken, so we have to take it to the repair shop. And where is that repair shop? That is called Guru. The Guru repairs our mystic television for us so that we can, you know, of course we have to cooperate with his instructions. But by surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master, we... that ability to actually directly perceive the Lord's pastimes within the heart will gradually become revived. That mystic television Prabhupada mentions will become reactivated when we actually become purified of all the lust, all the anger, all the greed, all the tendencies we have to want to try to be God. We become totally free of those tendencies, and simply are, you know, completely purified, and have no desire except to love and serve Krishna, then not only will we be able to see the form of Krishna as Prabhupada ordered me to do, to come to that level. Seeing Krishna also, see, Krishna exists in Krishna's Leela. There's no such thing as Krishna outside of Krishna's Leela. Krishna is always in his Leela. When we come to the point of seeing Krishna, then we must see his Leela also, because Krishna is always in his Leela, you see. So we become completely purified, as Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. When we come to that point where we can actually see Krishna, then we will also see Krishna's pastime. So this process is very, very exciting. And now we're entering into the second half of the Nectar Devotion, the reading about these levels that someday we will achieve if we stick to this pathway. Right now we're still, you know, we're still slugging along in sadhana bhakti. But if we stay very solidly fixed on this, in our following our rules and regulations, working together cooperatively under the leadership that Prabhupada has given us, our GBC, our temple presidents, etc. You see, if we continue on working in this way, then all these high levels that we're going to be reading about every morning in the Nectar of Ocean, we will attain them. We will experience ecstasies which are inconceivable to us in this material world. People don't know what is ecstasy. We're reading this morning all about ecstasy, all these, you know, different types of ecstasies. It's not just one variety, there's five, we read about five different varieties of ecstasy this morning. And they are distinct, and there are subdivisions within those. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible. It's like a feast. You know, you have this prep, all these varieties of ecstasies. The devotee can experience varieties of ecstasy when he reaches that stage. Multi-varieties of ecstasies. So, yes, the leelas are going on, and we simply have to, you know, get over, especially the stage of Nartanavritti. That's the tough stage, you see. It's not so difficult to have a little faith. I mean, you know, a lot of people have some faith. To associate with devotees, many people come and associate with devotees. Sadhu Sangha, the next stage. Bhajana Kriya, you know, getting initiated, taking shelter of Guru, following the rules and regulations. That many also do. Of course, out of the population, that's rare, but you know, there's many of us doing that in ISKCON. But the next stage, the Nartanavritti, to cleanse all the dirt out of the heart, that there's a saying, that's what separates the men from the boys. In other words, that's where the going really gets tough. You see, that's where the going really gets tough. To get all the dirt out of the heart and become purified of all the inertas. All the lust, all the varieties of lust, gross lust and subtle lust, you see. All those varieties. And that's when the going gets tough. But there's also a saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So we just have to, I also say the Marine Corps builds men. So we just have to have the determination that I'm going to be a staunch, fixed-up devotee of the Lord, you see. I'm going to rise to the occasion. I'm going to become strong and fixed in Krishna consciousness. I don't want to just be some, you know, devotional wimp who can't control his senses. I want to become a Goswami, you see. One who masters the senses. If we make that determination that I must become a Goswami, I must become a master of my senses. Whatever our ashram, it doesn't matter. You can be a lady, you can be a brahmachari, you can be a sannyasi, a householder. Prabhupada explains we are all meant to become Goswami. Every one of us in this movement. Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam chiva vegam udaropasta vegam etanvitan yo vishaheta dira sarvam mapimam pritivim shishisha. We are all meant to come to that platform, Goswami. So if we do that, then we will pass through that stage in Nartanavritti, and then we can go on and really start getting the nectar. Ruchi, Nishta, become solidly fixed, not flaky anymore, wavering. You know, should I not surrender? No, solid, fixed in Krishna Bhakti, Nishta. And then, after you become very fixed up devotee, ah, what a taste you will get. Ruchi. Just diving into oceans of nectar like the ultimate gulab jamun. And then and that ruchi becomes so thick and so sweet and so irresistibly delicious. You can't even conceive of not drinking that taste for a second. You're just absolutely addicted. That is called a sakti. You see? And then, from within the heart, the spiritual emotions, like volcanic eruptions, begin to come. That is called bha. And then, you become fully reinstated in your original loving relationship with Krishna, prema. So, that stage in Nartanavritti, where we're at now, you see, we have to really work hard. As we enter the Nartanavritti, we're called Gotas. As we leave the Nartanavritti, we're called Goswami. That's where the transformation takes place, between being a Godas and a Goswami, the Anartanaviti stage. So you really got to work on that, you know, conquering the senses, conquering the mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. You really have to work on it. You have to be strict in these regulative principles. Cannot indulge in illicit sex. Is it? We shouldn't contemplate illicit sex, because that can lead to doing it. So that the Anartanaviti stage, that's where we really draw the line between a neophyte and advanced devotee. That stage in Anartanaviti. So once you get to Bhajana Kriya, when you're initiated, then you rather really take Anartanaviti very, very seriously. You see? Very, very seriously. Any other questions?
You talked about the, this, but it doesn't matter, but we have to hear every pastime. It doesn't affect so much.
That's right. We're not thinking, well, you know, I have to be a gopi, so, you know, I don't want to hear about Krishna and the cowherd boys. Or I want to be a cowherd boy, so I don't want to hear about, you know, Kurukshetra. Yeah. See, this is sahaja, it's bogus.
Yeah. So does that mean that whatever we do here, it doesn't, our internal position is totally fixed, it doesn't depend on what we do here?
We actually have our svarup. That's described in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita. It is called Svarup Siddhi. Svarup means, or Sva means his own. And Rupa means form. So you already have your identity in the spiritual world. You fell from it, and you will regain it if you take this process very seriously. Now, Prabhupada does mention that it is possible that one could change one's rasa with Krishna, because the spiritual world is a world of complete freedom. Some of our, this is not widely known, but I directly heard, actually, I told a sannyasi one time, he said, "Where's the evidence?" He jumped on me. But then I went into the Veda base and I found the quote and I emailed it to him. It's right there in the Veda base. That one can change one's rasa in the spiritual world. But generally they don't do that. Why? Because everyone feels my rasa is the best. You see? The gopis feel I have the best deal. The flute thinks I have a better deal than the gopis. Because they only get Krishna's lips every now and then. I get Krishna's lips constantly. You see? So actually in the spiritual world, even though you could change your rasa, generally no one does. Everyone's completely satisfied in the relationship with the Lord. So you actually have a relationship with the Lord, you have just forgotten it. Don't try to guess what it is. It'll spoil your devotional life. Don't run to Radhakund and try to find some Babaji who will tell you what your rasa is with Krishna. That will spoil your spiritual life. Simply follow the pathway given by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Simply follow the directions given by the Prabhupada, the representative, your beloved temple president, Sriman Tathavat Prabhu, and the senior devotees who come here and guide, and the other Prabhus here. Simply follow their nice instructions, and your perfection is guaranteed. You will actually revive that original Svarup. You will achieve Svarup Siddhi. You'll actually get it. That day will come when you actually realize who you actually are in Krishna's pastimes. That will come. So, maybe inconceivable now, but just stick to your duty. Be a dutiful brahmachari. You see, stick to your duty, and everything will come. Krishna will become your personal property. That actually comes when you achieve perfection. When you totally give yourself to Krishna, then Krishna completely gives himself to you. Any other questions? Yes.
Prabhupada, you talked about this, it's very important to hear from spiritual master these things.
The importance of spiritual master? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very important to hear these things from him.
Yes, that is given in Mundaka Upanishad. It's eva bigat chet. It's compulsory. Guru is compulsory. That is the teachings of Vedas. Prabhupada actually says in the Nectar Devotion, until you get initiated, there is no connection with Krishna. That's how heavy Prabhupada states it in the Nectar Devotion. You read it here in your readings one morning. He says, without initiation, there's no connection with Krishna. So it's essential. Of course, in the beginning, now you're in the process of getting connected. So that's some kind of a connection. But the connection is not really there in the complete sense until you get initiated. Now you're preparing to get connected. So that is, you're in the process of being connected now. That's good. But the full connection comes, Prabhupada explains it, without initiation, you're not actually connected with Krishna. So you require a guru. Yes, you must have a guru.
So is it in the, it's somehow mystical way, it is in the sound vibration, because this same information could be theoretically said by even materialists could say these things.
It's not impersonal. That just, you know, that I get the sound vibration from the guru and I don't really need a personal relationship with him.
I just mean that there is something special in that sound vibration.
Something what?
Something special, something mystic, because even materialist could tell the same in theory. He could say the same things. He could understand the theory of Bhagavatam.
A materialist is speaking and the spiritual master is speaking. Will that sound vibration will be the same?
It must be different. Any Vaishnava, when he is speaking Krishna Katha, it is not an ordinary, when I speak or you speak even Krishna Katha, it is not an ordinary sound. It is called Shabda Brahma. When any devotee speaks about Krishna, Krishna manifests in that sound vibration. It's not an ordinary thing. Golokera Prema Dana Halinama Sankirtan. This transcendental sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is not of this world. It's coming in, it's being imported from Goloka Vrindavan. Golokera Prema Dana Hadi Nama Sankirtana. So the holy name, the glorification of the name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc., the Supreme Lord is fully transcendental. It's mystical. Has nothing to do with ordinary sound vibration, this material world. Even though it may appear to be the same, it's not.
Prabhupada says that transcendental vibration of the sound vibration of the holy name chanted by the materialistic or non-devotee is the
poison.
Poison.
Yeah, if you hear the heart, just like there's a popular musician, and he goes around singing Hare Krishna and, you know, and songs to Durgas. And people, the Mayavadis go wild. He's, you know, very attractive. He uses the Indian instruments. He's very popular in America. He's very popular. He sells tons of CDs. He does concert tours all the time. And he chants Hare Krishna. But it's poison. Some of our devotees are so foolish, they listen to his CDs thinking, this sounds good. They don't realize they're getting poisoned because he's a Mayavad. And actually he criticizes the Hare Krishna movement. He's very critical against ISKCON. And devotees listen to his tapes and think, what's this really cool? This is great. They're getting poisoned because he's a Mayavad. So the source of where you're hearing the vibrations from makes all the difference in the world. That same vibration, apparently same vibration, will liberate you or it will pollute you. Depends on quality of the speaker. If he's a Vaishnava, you'll become liberated. If he's a Mayavad, you'll become polluted. Something?
Just one detail and one question regarding this. Is this person Ram Das, who is this very popular musician?
His name is Krishna Das. Actually, he's a follower of Baba Ramdas, and he Balaram Das will come in and give the discourse, and Krishna Das will do the kirtan, the bhajan. He does things in tandem with Ramdas.
Yeah, they are also in Finland nowadays.
They come to Finland too? Yes. Yeah. Krishna Das is his name.
Yeah, I have like this, some series in Finland.
Yeah, they're big. I mean, he's very popular. The Mayavad. We meet people on the airplane. Oh, they say, yes, I like this Hare Krishna. I'm an admirer of Krishna Das. So in some ways, you know, we can take advantage of that for preaching. Oh, you like this Hare Krishna? Yeah, I listen to Krishna Das all the time. I play a CD in my car. You know, I chant with Krishna Das all the time. So we can take, instead of saying, oh, that's poison, no, we just say, yes, well, come. We chant here. Come and chant with us. Well, I just hear on a CD. So, you know, you have to be intelligent when you're preaching. Don't just say, the Maya Bhagavad, you're being poisoned. No, say, come here. You like it? Come. We'll get more nectar here. Like that. Yeah.
Question regarding this. In some occasions, Prabhupada was very happy when people chanted Hare Krishna, even if it was in negative, not positive frame, like some made criticism about Hare Krishna in the newspaper, and people read it, and they said Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada was very happy about that. So what's the difference between that and the poisonous chanting? What's the main difference of that?
This is a very nice question he's asked, a very intelligent question. Because Prabhupada said that even the criticism of the Hare Krishna movement, by the, specifically in Germany, there was a tremendous thing, an outrage, you know, heavy thing. They confiscated the money, they froze the assets, it was a heavy thing. Prabhupada said, and every German newspaper was saying Hare Krishna is bad. Because they were chanting Hare Krishna, we were still existing, Prabhupada said. So what's the difference between the German newspapers going, Hare Krishna is bad, Hare Krishna is wicked, Hare Krishna is evil, Hare Krishna is this, and some Mayavadi going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What's the difference? It's a very interesting question. Now, even though Prabhupada does say that hearing from the Mayavadi is poison, actually, at one time he did admit there was some benefit. So, it's like you're getting a mixture of poison, and you know, Krishna's name is, in one sense, is absolute, but you know, trouble is, when you hear, if you hear from the German, you know, the German newspapers, Hare Krishna is evil, you know, you're not seeing the German newspapers being a bona fide spiritual master. So this is you understand, this is the newspaper, they're simply trying to, you know, sell their newspapers and make money. And they put whatever they can in the newspaper to get people to buy their paper. But if you actually go to a spiritual master, someone who's, you know, purporting to be a spiritual leader, and you hear from him, you know, you chant Hare Krishna with him, and then, you know, then you find out and you hear from him his teachings. It's a whole different thing, actually. You go to chant with the Mayavadis, and then, you know, then they say yes, and it's all, they give you Mayavadi philosophy. So in one sense, even though they're getting poison, at least they're getting some, maybe getting some little attachment to the name. And then we can, if they haven't been indoctrinated philosophically, we can then take them and give them a name in its original pure form that doesn't have any tinge of poison, and actually make them devotees. That's one difference. A newspaper who's not propagating any spiritual philosophy uses the name, and you know, a guru who's presenting a whole impersonal philosophy along with a kirtan, that's one difference. Yes?
Yeah, Prabhupada, I was asking the same point from Kavichandra Maharaj last year, and he mentioned that, or his opinion was that a devotee should not listen to these Mayavadis, but for ordinary person, there is some benefit in the sense that this offensive chanting may lead to pure chanting someday.
Yeah. Well, Prabhupada confirmed there was some benefit. I know my godbrother Amarendra, who was my Tamil president, he had met with Prabhupada in Chicago, and there was, in that conversation, I have the notes somewhere in my files of the actual words that Prabhupada said. I don't recall them at this moment, but Prabhupada, I don't know if it's in the database or not, but I took personally recorded off of a recording of the conversation. I have the actual notes with the exact word that Prabhupada spoke in this regard. There is some benefit even hearing. So this agrees with what Kavi Chandramaraj was saying. Now if we go, if we hear from him, we're going backwards.
But hearing and getting little benefit, but we are wasting our human life, then we could do better things.
Yeah. Yeah, it means we're attracted by the musical, you know, the musical presentation. You know, he gets some cool African drums. You know, we're attracted by the external trappings. We really have to have the pure name to make advancement.
Otherwise, our scriptures won't say that. Hearing the holy name chanted, Prabhupada is also saying in his introduction to that CD, where it's, he's saying some invocation mantra. He's saying, and then he's
louder.
Saying that a mantra chanted, one should not hear even what to talk about.
Yeah,
he should not hear. It's like a milk touched by the lips of a serpent.
That's right. See, the thing is, he will chant Hare Krishna, and then he'll chant with even more intensity. He will chant a song to Durga, very intensely, pray to Durga. So, this is obviously, you know, they're getting, there's people who hear from him, they think, yeah, Krishna is great, Durga is great, you know, like that. It's the second offense against the holy name. They become acclimatized to an attitude which is the second offense against the holy name. It doesn't matter which god you worship, as long as you do it with bhakti, intense bhakti. You can chant Hare Krishna, you can chant Durga, you can chant Shiva, doesn't matter which one. As long as you do it with intensity, then it's really cool. So it's obviously, you know, not good to them. Any other questions?
Isn't it? It depends on the individual. They want full benefit or little benefit.
Yeah. Well, we have one friend in Austin who's a prominent figure in the New Age scene, and he's very attracted to Krishna Das, but listens to him in the car. But then, you know, he invites us to come and do Hare Krishna Kirtan at his gardening store. We're welcome to come anytime and do a kirtan. So in some ways it's a benefit, because he thinks kirtan is great. And we're welcome to go anytime and do a kirtan in this place. And we've gone a couple, once already we've done, twice we went. We had one function there, and many people came, and we were the stars of the show. We came in and did Hare Krishna kirtan. Everybody, we had all these people chanting, it was great. So we should take advantage of that for preaching. But we should know, we should not think that they're... We have to think they have to be rescued. We shouldn't think, well, you know, we're okay and they're okay and we're all okay. No. We have to understand they need to be rescued from this bad influence. Anything else? So we will stop here. And tonight we will conclude. The sixth question will be discussed in detail tonight, and the answer. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Helsinki devotees ki jai.